First John chapter 1, I'm in a series here called Prayer Mount. You know, there was a man named Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. He pastored at one time the world's largest church in Korea. And Dr. Cho had a mountain that he would go to. It was like a grotto. They put little caves in there, and thousands of people would go there and pray. They called it Prayer Mountain. I've not been to Prayer Mountain in Korea. I have been to Thunder Mountain in Disneyland. And the thing about Disneyland is it was a nice roller coaster, and it kind of ups and downs and turns and water falling on you. And it kind of what it reminds me of is prayer. That's how, sometimes how prayer feels to some people. You know, ups and downs, and you kind of wonder what's coming next. And so I have a burden to teach on one of my favorite topics, which is the subject of prayer, something I feel like I've got extensive experience with. I had an uncle one time who lived in California, my Uncle Ralph, and he had a large church, and he told me that one of the secrets to ministry for him was that he knew how to pray. If you know how to pray, you can have answers to prayer and life will go well for you. So I want to just teach on the subject of prayer this morning. Now I want to read the first three verses of 1 John just to set us up. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, when he said this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that we as believers get to come into your presence today, and there's fullness of joy that exists in that presence. We get to fellowship with one another because of the blood of Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that the word of the Lord today would fall upon ears that hear. I thank you for helping me teach this message clearly today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. You know, I tell you, I'm a pastor, so I get to do a lot of praying. I remember years ago, I was praying at a church I was interning at, and they had a balcony. And I was pacing back and forth across the balcony. It was early in the morning, and I was getting pretty worked up, man. I was praying. I was just thanking the Lord. I was getting excited, and I got to the far end of it, and as I turned around, I looked, and on the other side of that balcony area, I'm telling you, I saw a ghost, man. It was white, and I started looking at it, and I started, you know, binding that spirit that was coming towards me, and then the closer I got, I realized it was just the construction crew that had been working outside the building. He had paint in his clothes. I think I scared him as much as he scared me. People can get very worked up in prayer. But there is a purpose to your prayer life. There's a purpose for it. And I really felt impressed today to teach on the subject of prayer. I want to highlight to you the purpose of prayer. Of course, this is not exhaustive. I'm just giving you some things that I've learned. You know, why do we need prayer? Because prayer is powerful. Sometimes it's the only thing you can do, man. It's all you got. And it is pretty cool when God answers your prayers. Prayer is also just so practical, so helpful. Why don't we pray more often? Why is it that your first reaction is not to pray more? You know, sometimes my reaction is try to figure it out. A first reaction ought to be to pray. And prayer is a principal thing. I mean, it's of the utmost importance, and its effectiveness should not be overlooked. So I'm going to just teach on prayer, how to pray effectively. First purpose. And I'm in this third verse here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, that John the apostle got to hold and touch and see. And he said this, that you may have fellowship with us. And then he said that our fellowship, someone say fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Here is the first thing I'd like to highlight about prayer. The first purpose is to increase our sense of fellowship with God. Fellowship, say fellowship. Greek word koinonia, and it's a word that means communion. It's a relational partnership and connection that you have with God. You know, prayer is one of the primary ways that we get to connect with God. And Jesus, as you know, he'd spend all night praying sometimes. I mean, he'd go alone to pray. He did it in crucial moments when he had to choose disciples or when they wanted to come and make him the king. And his answer to that was to get alone with the Lord, fellowship with God, so he could have some answers. I want to increase the presence of God in my life. That means I want to spend more time with God. Anyone know how that, like, have that same desire? I want to spend more time with him. Because here's what happens when I fellowship with God. Verse 4, the next verse, it says that your joy may become full. when I spend time with God, I have an increased sense of joy. Now, I've been working out at the gym these days. So when we get up, we go in the morning and we do cardio exercises. And I come into the office, man, I feel like a champion. Because what I've got is an endorphin blood flow going through my brain from all the exercising I've been doing. It helps me stay young and fit and active. And prayer is sort of like that. Like, it's a spiritual endorphin rush going through my mind and going through my spirit. It makes me happy. It relieves anxieties that I'm faced with. When I pray, I spend time with God. Suddenly, it's like my joy lifts up. And what happens is my perspective begins to become more clear. So the fifth verse says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there's a certain light that comes in God's presence. I'm no longer left in the dark. I can see things clearly. I can see things from a higher perspective. And that's what prayer will bring to your life. Prayer will bring solutions to the problems that you face. When you pray, you get a little more understanding about situations, circumstances, and even about people that helps you process, put in context, understand things. I love what prayer does for me. It helps me see things clearly. And when I pray, my love for other people increases. We walk in the light as he is in the light, that we might have fellowship with one another. So my mercy, my compassion, my love for people, it just increases the more that I spend in God's presence. It's like I'm way less judgmental and way less critical of people. It's a funny world we live in today. People are like really good at being critical and judgmental in this world we live in right now. Did you know that? And I have an answer for people who sometimes tend to be too critical, of which I am one. Spend more time with the Lord. Get in his presence a little bit, because when you're constantly critical about things, it just means you haven't been in the Lord's presence enough. You need to have daily devotions and simmer down a little bit. Come on, somebody. My love will increase as I pray. When I pray and spend time with God, I don't feel so alone. You know, I feel extremely blessed. I have no shortage of friends. I have an easy time making friends. And I also have no shortage of family. They're multiplying now. They're moving here from other nations of the world. That's how it's been. I've got family, and then the family gets married to other people. I've got more family. But, you know, it's a funny thing. Sometimes even I, surrounded by people, feel lonely. And I don't know why. Maybe you feel that way too sometimes. But when I spend time with the Lord and I sense his presence with me, oh, man, I'm telling you, it just like that. There's a comfort that comes when you're not alone. When I'm stressed, when I'm perplexed, when I'm bitter, when I get frustrated, when I watch the news too much, when I don't know what to do, I can be alone with the Lord, and the presence of God will comfort me. He will be with me in some of the darkest moments. He'll be with me when I just feel so frustrated, when I'm embarrassed and have bad situations. The Lord is there with me, and I'm grateful for that. So I'm praying because I want to increase his fellowship. I want to have that with him. How can you fellowship with God? Spend more time with him. Do your daily devotions. Get quiet. Get alone. Make it a habit. Make it consistent. Write it down, meet that time, be intentional about it, and when you spend time with the Lord, your fellowship increases, the wisdom of God, the love of God, all these things become yours because you've been spending time with him. That's the fellowship we have. Now, let me give you another purpose here. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going 1 John 1, 3, and then we'll go to chapter 5 in a little bit. 1 John 3, verse 22. I like this verse. This is about prayer. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because it says we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So here is a purpose of prayer. It is to ask God to act. We could say we're asking God to intervene in our lives. That's what prayer is. Prayer is a call to action. You're saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your help in my life. I need your help in this particular situation or circumstance or the present reality I face. Now, you're probably familiar with the Lord's Prayer, which I intend to teach on later on in this series, when the Lord taught us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. So that would be a prayer for provision. Like, I need something, Lord. I need provision, my daily bread, and I know you'll come through. See, there are situations where it feels like only God can help you. When you need financial provision. And I've experienced this, man, in personal ways. I remember when my son was born, I can't believe he's almost 10. And I remember he ended up being in the neonatal intensive care unit. He was there for 40 days. And that was a, you know, difficult time. I was facing a large hospital bill, and I was mowing in the backyard, and I was just kind of praying, and I was adding up, how am I going to get this paid for? What am I going to do? And I remember just as I was mowing there on a cool May morning, I just felt the Lord right there with me to tell me everything was going to work out. I don't know how all fully it got taken care of, but I do know this, the Lord brought me through that. In that difficult moment, a difficult time, the financial provision was there. And I've just experienced God do that so many times in my life. I'm grateful for that. I think about the church situation that we're in here. Man, we're so blessed. And we had a piece of property we were going to build on, and we just were unable to get a deal done. And I remember just spending hours praying back and forth. What are we going to do? When can we get that property sold? And I remember the day came, we got the property sold, it paid off the building. I mean, all my prayers came answered. And it's just an incredible thing to, when you know how to pray, God can make provision in your life. He can do it with your finances. He can do it in your body. Maybe you need a healing in your body. You know, I had a minor surgical operation recently, and studies will show that prayer helps people heal. So I ask for prayer. You know, I'm there with the nurses, or I'm, you know, in a men's group in the morning. Hey, I'm going in. Will you pray for me? And the Bible says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So I pray, I believe that my healing takes place and God is there with me in these moments, and I'm sure grateful for that. So if you need healing in your body, we can anoint you with oil. We can pray for you. The prayer of faith will save the sick. It's there when you have like emergency situations and you don't know what to do. You ever had an emergency take place? I was telling you about my uncle in California. He was with his buddy and they were doing a crusade in the Philippines. And, you know, that's a long flight across the Pacific. They had a plane they were flying back, and they had to stop in Hawaii. Now, my uncle had this amazing spiritual gift of, being able to fall asleep whenever he wanted to. What do you call that, narcolepsy? Yeah, he'd go right out. So my uncle's asleep on the back of the plane, and the buddy of his, the evangelist, he came knocking on the door. Ralph, dear brother, he said, the pilot is lost. We're over the Pacific. Pray, Ralph, pray. And I remember Uncle Ralph, he kind of woke up and he said to his friend, he said, you know, Benny, Jesus just slept through the storm. And he prayed a little bit, he rolled over, he went to sleep. And he woke up in Hawaii. So everything got taken care of. That's sometimes how I've had to handle emergency situations, man. I don't know, you know, what the outcome's going to be. You might get a phone call in the middle of the night with bad news. And I've just learned, you know, I pray in those moments, I trust the Lord. And I've seen God come through. So in emergencies, the Lord can show up. Or here's one, when you have relational situations. This is what I've discovered about relational situations. When you pray, you need to know how to take the authority that God has given to you. So if you're a parent, you have authority to pray over your children. If you're a friend, you can speak the truth in love, you can pray. You can be honest. And there's something about knowing how to pray. And I have seen relationships healed by the power of prayer. It's a remarkable thing. I'll see people who, you know, they've been through difficult moments, maybe divorce, or maybe it's bitterness, unforgiveness. And by praying and walking in love, I've seen relationships come together. It's a beautiful thing. And of course, spiritual warfare. You got to take that authority God's giving you and use it. And here's what I've discovered about, you know, people when they're in spiritual warfare. They often think that other people are the problem. But people are not your problem. The devil is your problem. And what you got to learn how to do when it comes to spiritual warfare is be gracious to a person, but ruthless with a spirit in private. Gracious in person, but take authority over demonic situations. I've applied that principle. I've seen it work so much in my life. And let me just remind you not to go chasing down spiritual battles. Don't go looking for them. In the Bible, you see that when people dealt with demonic spirits, it was because they came to them, like Paul's preaching, and a slave girl's possessed, or someone showed up, and it wasn't them chasing them down. It was knowing how to handle and use the authority when God, when situations came. You know, it takes faith to believe that God will act and intervene in your life. Let's read this 22nd verse again. He said, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do the things pleasing in his sight. We're living for God. You're trying to stay in his will. If you do that, man, you'll watch how the Lord will come through in situations. And he said this, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. If you want God to act in your life, believe it in your heart. I mean, this is super simple. I just simply pray and I believe that the Lord has heard my prayer, that he'll come through. I don't overthink it, because I've learned over all these years, sometimes the more you worry about it, dwell on it, I just need to believe, and believing is how you receive it. If I just believe God's working on my behalf, I trust him, I believe it, I can receive it, he shows up. And then the scripture tells us you should believe that Jesus has heard your prayer, that he's for you, that he'll act, and then he says that you ought to love one another. If I'm walking in love, it positions me to receive the things I need from the Lord. If I keep my heart right, if I forgive other people, if I bless them, if I'm not bitter, if I'm able to just be gracious with people and extend love and turn the other cheek, God will intervene. He will act. That love walk that I have where I keep my heart right, that is the thing that allows God to show up and intervene. Very simple. You believe that he'll come through, you walk in love and watch what he does. If you need God to act, if you want him to act, ask for him to act. James chapter 4, verse 2. You have not because you ask not. It's a very simple thing. I can go to the Lord. I can ask for him to show up with provision, with an answer, with something I need. And I'm confident when I ask him, he will come through because I've seen him do it time and time and time again. Isn't that right? Have you seen that take place? Yeah. Speaking of confidence, another verse here. Our third purpose. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. So we went 1 John 1, 1 John 3, now we're in 1 John 5. I love this verse. This is the confidence. Someone say confidence. Confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Here is a third purpose in prayer. It's to discover what his will is and then to do it. Your fellowship can increase with God, you can ask God to act, and you can discover what the will of the Lord is and work it out in your life. You know, the will of a person is their desire, their inclination, or their choice. And it might surprise you to know that God has a will and he has opinions on things. And I find a lot of people either don't want to know what his will or opinion is, or they ignore it. But he's got one. Let me remind you again of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want the will of God for my life, don't you? I want the will of the Lord to be done. But here's the thing about God's will. It's perfect. So you can't change it. And God knows what's best for you. You know, some people take that verse, that thought of you know, your will be done on earth as in heaven, and they kind of think, well, you know, in heaven, there's no sickness. That means sickness shouldn't be on the earth. Sometimes they overemphasize certain things. But I just want to remind you that in heaven, people do not die either. But on the earth, people do die. And as long as you're on this earth, there will be problems that people face. So what the phrase means in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as in heaven, it means that we should pray to do the will of God in every situation. We're praying to submit to God's will being worked out in our lives. There's no rebellion in heaven. That means there should be no rebellion in me. And I find it funny because I know people who get frustrated with God and they try to change his will, which is sort of like borderlining on rebellion. When you're trying to, you know, impose your thoughts, you're implying that you know a little more than God does about the situation. And I watch people do this, man. I see them get frustrated or they think they might know more. And I just want to just caution you, be very careful about trying to change God's will. Prayer is discovering what his will is. And John said something interesting. He poses the possibility that we can know that we have been heard. There's a supernatural confidence that sometimes comes when you've spent time in prayer and you know that the Lord has heard you. And I can only speak to personal situations. Like, you know, I think about praying for a wife. And there came a moment when I was praying that I knew God had heard my prayer and I wasn't far from it. And you know, the thing is, when I know he's heard me and I know that God had a wife and he had something right there for me, the challenge is not to try to force that, to let it come. That's where people get trouble. They might have this idea that God's got something, and instead of letting it come in the right moment, they'll try to force the situation. I'm sure grateful I found Elizabeth. I did find her. The Lord brought her to my life, and I knew he'd heard my prayer. Now, there's levels to God's will, two levels. There's the revealed will of God, and there is the secret will of God. So if we talk about the revealed will of God, we're talking about his word. You're talking about things like the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Don't murder people. Honor the Sabbath day. That's written in his word. That's his will. You know, the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule and loving people. That's what we know to be true. And then there's the secret will of God. And these are things that deal with practical issues. Who you ought to marry? And if you need to know, I recommend Canadians. That's just what I found works for me. They're very chill. What career path should you take? What call has God put on your life? What does the future hold for you? And the thing about people is that we're more often interested in the secret will of God. We want all the mysteries. But knowing the secret will of God, I'll tell you what it requires, is that you know the revealed will of God. It means that you live a life that's pleasing to God. The closer you stay to God, the more you honor his word, the more you live by it, you'll find that the more the secret will of God becomes not so much a mystery to you. You start understanding it more. The will of God can also be revealed through prophecy. There is something prophetic-like about discovering the will of God. It's sort of like a prophetic unction that you get on the inside. It's that warm sense you get in your spirit about what you should do. The purpose of prophecy is to mirror the will of God. And true prophecy, like the secret will of God, never conflicts with the revealed will of God. It's going to confirm that. Now, I had a personal thing I was praying on. Friday afternoon, I was in my office, and I was praying. And I was just sitting there before the Lord, and I was wrestling with him. I was actually complaining. I know that has never happened to you. I was in this moment, I was praying. I was a little frustrated about something. I was asking God, and I had a thought come into my mind. And it just as soon as it started coming to me, I recognized what it was. It was a scripture verse. That is very often how the Lord will speak to me. And he gave me a verse. And that verse answered all my questions. That was the end of the argument. That is what the scripture says. Now I know the secret will of God because I know the revealed will of God. But it was amazing how it just came as a whisper and a thought in my mind to help me determine this is what to do. Here's the thing about the will of God. It can produce pain. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it's your will, take this cup from me. But he's praying, not my will, but your will be done. And a lot of times what happens is, we get caught up in the pain of unanswered prayer. And it's because you have to wait on God's timing. And as the country song says, waiting is the hardest part. Come on, somebody. We live in the Google generation. You ain't got to wait for nothing. You can look up nuclear secrets and you can find anything you want from sales on the internet to who shot JFK, right there on Google at the tip of your finger. So we live in a time when waiting is the hardest part. Sometimes you feel like if you have to wait for an answer to prayer, it's like God didn't even hear you. And think about the people who lived for thousands of years that didn't have Google. And they took that as a part of God's process in their life. So when you're waiting, I know it's annoying, but God might be working. If you try to push that agenda too hard, that's where you get in trouble. I think about Psalm 37. The psalmist said it. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. There's just something about his timing that might be uncomfortable, but I have found if you can master God's timing, you'll master your emotions. You keep those emotions under check, you'll find that God shows up. There's also the pain of testing that you go through when you're going through a trial. Testing, adversity, difficulties, resistance are what makes you stronger. That's what matures you. And I found that in order for certain breakthroughs to take place in your life, you might have to go through a difficult moment. There might be some frustration. There might be an obstacle. There might be a hurdle. But some of the greatest breakthroughs can take place if you are willing to go through the tests, difficult things, the frustrations. It might just be that God is allowing those things to take place to strengthen you so that when your answer comes, you can handle it. You go through these difficult things when you're praying. Timing. Testing. And by the way, there is another pain that I call the pain of truth. This is when you have to face yourself in the moment. You know, when I pray, I'm often faced with the ugly truth. That's why the scripture is called a mirror. You look in the Word of God, you start seeing flaws about yourself. Man, I remember one time, I got up very early in the morning. I went to church. I was about 20 at the time. I was there, and the sun was coming up, 6 in the morning, beautiful day. And I was eager to have Bible study. And I opened it up, and I was reading the 141st Psalm, verse 5. And I was reading through it. It said, "Let the righteous strike me. It should be as oil to my head." And I was instantly reminded of the argument I had with my mother the night before. And then I was like, oh, man. Mom was right. And you know what I found out? That's probably as close to hearing the Lord as you get. When you have to face up, hey, I was wrong in this. And it's sometimes only the Holy Spirit can show you that. And it just takes a person who's willing to face the pain of the truth to get an answer. Because the answer came, and I was able to grow as a person, get through that. That's what happens when you pray. It's not for the faint of heart. It's to discover the will of God. You want the will of God? I want to know the will of God for my life. Now, I woke up the other night, and I was like, you know, I had this epiphany came to me. I'm 2 in the morning. I'm alone. And I started realizing that I am smack dab in the middle of God's will. Like, I could sense it. And I started having all these reasons, like my family and the church and how the Lord had done all these things. But yet, in that moment, that realization came, it was very comforting. But I did have some questions. I had some mysterious, I was like, well, what about this? And what about that? So I do know this, being in the will of God is the best thing for your life. It's where you want to be. And the way that you discover that is by knowing how to pray, hearing His voice, and knowing how to act on it. You can know the will of God for your life if you spend time praying and you watch out for construction workers that show up when you're praying in the morning at the church. If you can watch out for those guys, you'll discover the will of God and not be so scared. Do you want a greater sense of God's presence in your life? Do you want that sense of His presence? Let me just encourage you something. Spend time with Him. Hey, spend more time with Him. We live in a busy world. And you're distracted by things like Facebook. And what you got to do is get your face in the book. Yeah, read the Bible. Spend time alone with God. Put your phone down. You know what happens is if you do that, you'll stay spiritually awake. And you won't get distracted. This is what I find. I find that God is often speaking more than you're listening. And it's just because you get distracted that you miss His voice. So if you want God's presence, if you want to sense that fellowship with Him. He is not far away from you. He's very near. You just got to be intentional and say, Lord, I want You in my life. That's what prayer is. It's that one-on-one moment interactions you have with God. And there's something beautiful about that. It's a wonderful thing. I know for me, I need to spend more time with God. It's easy to get busy. Maybe you need God to do something for you. Ask Him for it. Ask Him boldly. Ask Him with confidence, because the scripture says you can go into His presence boldly. You can come right there. He will hear you. Man, I love that about Him. Let me give you some nuggets about asking God for something. Be very specific about what you're after. He's not unlimited. His arm is not short that He cannot save. I have learned that the more specific I am in prayer, the greater likelihood that thing gets answered. Because that's our God. So, you know, we bought a new house last year. Elizabeth had been praying for it. And one of the things I wanted was a wood fence. I'm tired of these stupid vinyl fences that the hail destroys. I don't like them. I think they look hideous. You can disagree with me. It's a matter of opinion. I like them wood fences because you can fix them. And so the house that we had, man, it's got wood everywhere. It's a half-acre lot with lots and lots of wood fence. And I was very happy about that. Had a 2-car garage like I was praying for and an RV port. And I thought, oh, I found the home. Because I was specific after certain things. And listen, you're going to have to be specific. You want the Lord to act in your behalf? Be specific, come boldly, come confidently. Don't think he can't hear you. Don't think that he won't come through for you. Just ask him to act. Watch what he does. If you have not, because you ask not, so ask him. Maybe it's knowing the will of God in a particular moment in your life, man. Seek his face. Don't stop seeking his face. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, I like what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 26, you pray in the Spirit. And you're praying the will of God. How many times are you faced with situations where you just don't know what to do? I don't know. I mean, I work with people all the time. And you deal with people, you deal with problems, huh? They'll come to me and I'm like, I don't know. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You pray the will of God. You pray secrets. You pray mysteries. You pray things that God will work out, man. That's sometimes the best thing you can do. Instead of shooting your mouth off and getting in fights with people, why don't you just pray? Pray in the Spirit. Pray the will of God. It'll take place. You just stay after it. And I want to remind you what Jesus said. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Like, keep going after that thing. I'm telling you, a lot of times people, they miss out on the will of God because they haven't been, like, applying themselves enough. They haven't been leaning into it. So I don't know who needs to do this. We're going to spend the next 3-4 weeks here talking about prayer. And I feel like the Lord's going to answer prayers, things you've been praying on. I teach you the things I know about it, the things I've learned about it. I feel like I know how to pray. I just wish I could figure out a way to get God to, act quicker. But I know that if you pray, he hears you. And it means you're close to him. You'll be close to the Lord. You want some prayers answered? Anyone need some prayers answered? Yeah. Maybe you need to know what the purpose of God is in your life, his will is. Yeah. Yeah. So let's just pray. Father, I just pray right now for open hearts and open minds to receive. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer our prayers and you're going to hear our heart. I pray, Lord, in the next month of this teaching, that we're going to see answers to prayer. And we're not going to limit you. I pray for homes to be bought and sold. I pray for children to come back from backsliding. I pray, Lord, that hearts and minds, relationships would be healed and restored. I pray, God, that we would see your wisdom in situations. Things that have been hidden from us, they're going to be made known. We're going to know what to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray the will of God becomes very clear. That's what I feel right there. I feel like some of y'all are questioning what the will of God is for you. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll just spend time seeking him, you'll know his will. You'll hear his voice. I thank you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, stand up with me this morning. I was thinking about Jesus. He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing at the right hand of the Father? This is Hebrews chapter 7. He is making intercession for you. He's praying for you. He is praying that you would follow him and surrender to him and walk with him. And I know a lot of people are doing that. I know a lot of people are walking with God. But maybe this morning you're not walking with the Lord. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe your heart's not in the right place. And the Lord himself is praying for you right now. He's knocking at the door of your heart. You can tell that because you might feel, when I say that, a compelling, this desire, I need to get right. Maybe you're confronted with the sin that's been pervasive or existing in your life. I think about that picture in the book of Revelation chapter 3 where the Lord is standing at the door and knocking. And if you've ever looked at that picture, you'll see there's no handle on the outside of the door. There's a handle on the inside of the door because you have to let him in. And maybe he's knocking. You don't know where you're at. I just want to give you a chance this morning. If the Lord is knocking at your heart with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you put a hand up, I want to pray with you. If you just sense God knocking, saying, I need to get right. I can tell he's drawing me and I want to surrender myself. Yeah. All right, I see that hand. Yeah. To surrender to the Lord. All right. Let's just all say this together. Say, Father, I want to give my life to you. Help me overcome sin. I want to walk away from it. And I want to let you in my life. And I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that and you're sincere, I would love to pray with you after the service. When you get born again and get right with the Lord, then you ought to get water baptized. Now, I had a grandma call me. She said, my baby wants to get baptized, but he wants to do it, like, at the church. So I was like, we're equal opportunity baptizer. So we got a young man named Christian. He wants to get baptized. We got a nice warm tank. It was 101 this morning. So, yeah, he said that's better than that cold river we usually do it at. We'll get you in July in the river if you'd like. But if you want to stick around, I'm going to get some change of clothes on, some shorts, and I'm going to baptize this young man. And, you know, if you got to go, you got to go. But we'll baptize him here in just a minute. But I just can't help but sense God's presence. And if you think to yourself, hey, I want to get baptized, you can hop in there with me. We'll baptize you. Let's just take a moment. Let's just thank the Lord for his goodness, because I feel his presence. Father, I just thank you for today, the will of the Lord. I pray that as we leave here, I pray this week we'd fulfill your will. We'd walk in your will. We'd know it. It'd be real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, I love you all. We'll catch you all next week. Yeah, we got to get all changed. So give us a few minutes and we'll baptize this young man, all right? God bless you. We'll see you all next week.